Thanks, Christine. Excuse me. I've got the sniffle, so I'll try not to sniff too much because that'll be terribly pleasant for you all. We'd obviously like to acknowledge the Wurundjeri on whose country we work on a daily basis. And I think from a particular perspective, in terms of the work that we do locally in Melbourne around our Indigenous health curricula, which is a part of what the Lyme Project might be in a national and bi-national context, is actually to think about health outcomes for the people on whose country and land we work. In terms of the Lyme network, one of the things that we want to start with is not so much the teaching and learning challenges that have been raised, but in fact why we might be having Indigenous health content in curricula, in health science curricula anyway. And two driving forces, in fact, over the last couple of decades increasingly recognised. And the first is the poor health outcomes for Indigenous peoples. And I don't just mean from a social determinants perspective. We increasingly know that engagement with the health system and with health practitioners provides often poorer health outcomes for Aboriginal people than for other people. And also the starting to be resolved, but still a long way to go, underrepresentation of Aboriginal peoples in the medical and health workforce. The last, I think, comprehensive data showed that we were represented at about 0.2% in the medical workforce. So constructing that as the problem and thinking through how we've moved perhaps approaches rather than solutions to addressing these problems over the last decade or so. In 2004, and led by then Project Officer Greg Phillips, the CDAMS is the Committee of Deans of Australian Medical Schools. Indigenous Health Curriculum Framework was developed after a long national, binational consultation process. And you may not be able to see that. Oh, you can see it perfectly if you borrow my new glasses, which are upstairs. Described after a long process subject areas that should be included in all medical curricula. Some examples of pedagogical approaches or delivery formats as described there, and some examples of suitable assessment tools that might match the kind of subject areas that were being included. That's 2004, so nearly a decade old now. An important piece of work for its time. The first agreed curriculum framework and endorsed by medical deans in any part of medical curricula in Australia and New Zealand, and quite a landmark, if you like, in Indigenous health curriculum development, a point in time. Importantly, following that, and I'll jump back to the role of accreditation shortly, but in 2006, the Australian Medical Council, which accredits all schools in Australia and New Zealand, in partnership with the Health Council of New Zealand and New Zealand, included some accreditation standards so that medical schools were answerable to the AMC in and around Indigenous health as well. I think one of the things we've found, though, as an aside with the accreditation process, is accreditation standards itself actually isn't enough to ensure good curricula. One of the reasons is, as a newish and emerging discipline of and over the last 10 or 20 years, that the people that are often on the accreditation teams for the AMC aren't themselves necessarily skilled in understanding what quality Indigenous health curricula might be, what might be examples of it, what might be proxies for it. So there's a couple of cases of AMC reports of medical schools where they've particularly commented on Indigenous health, but not very many. And I think if we went around the country, we would find, and we have done, different levels and different approaches and different standards of Indigenous health, but that's actually not reflected in accreditation reports. So I think one of the questions that is what's this question of quality, or is simply having a presence enough? Would it be enough just to develop some standard Indigenous health curricula for medical education and just put that in all the 20-odd medical schools? Or how do we support, and this is what the role of the Lyme Network has been over some years now, how do we support and encourage quality, and what processes might we put in place, what outcomes might we set to achieve, and Odette's going to talk about some of them shortly. And what kind of collaborative approach might best work? Certainly we know that, and in contrast, if you like, to AMC, which is around compliance, doesn't actually work in this kind of shared collaborative approach and framework. So with kind of the answer to that, the quality is important. The Lyme Network was established through the Department of Health and Ageing as a project of medical deans and hosted here at in this building at the Melbourne School of Population Health through the ANEMDA unit with excuse me, I'll come back to that one in a minute, with these particular objectives over the last 8-10 years? Thereabouts. And so each of these have been reportable back to the government through medical deans as things that the network will attempt to achieve. And just going back to the previous slide, that kind of highlights the growth of the network since 2009 by numbers and also by professions. excuse me. So what we're going to talk about is some of the things that the network has actually done, but some of the history, I think, and some of the rationale for having the network as a starting point to describe why we think quality is important and how we can best support quality and a couple of the activities that we've done to do that. So the other thing I wanted to say before I started, but I decided to talk about my sniffles instead, is I actually wanted to acknowledge the work that Odette has done both on this presentation but in part of the Lyme project anyway, as project manager of some years now. The project wouldn't work without her leadership, and in particular the presentation that she's put together is actually mostly her work, so thank you.
Thanks. So I'll talk a bit about our approach, I guess, and we've kind of been thinking about Lyme as a community of practice and looking at how the network has an impact on the development of work that's going on in the field and how we share knowledge and how we produce knowledge and develop research and encourage the evidence base. So these are some of our strategies. We operate with the steering committee, and that has representatives from Indigenous organisations like AIDA and Te Ora, the equivalent in New Zealand. And with also the input from medical deans and the government. But at the heart of the Lyme Network is our reference group, and this is made up of representatives from all the medical schools around Australia and New Zealand. And the other core component of our network is, of course, a secretariat, and we're privileged enough to have a funded secretariat with three full-time positions that can undertake the work in this field and progressing and enabling the experts in the field. So here are a range of activities, and I'll go through a few of them, but not all of them. So important part of our work is internally reviewing and mapping Indigenous health initiatives, and we've developed two tools to this end, the critical reflection tool, and in current development is our periodic service review tool. The CRT, or critical reflection tool, is developed to provide medical schools with a set of guidelines for assessing the delivery of Indigenous health content in medical curriculum. This tool is often used for schools that are in their initial stages of development. And for those a bit further along the road, we developed the periodic systemic review. The second tool is based on what's included in the AMC guidelines, and also in the Indigenous health curriculum framework. So we're providing opportunity for schools to critically analyse the extent to which Indigenous health initiatives comply with these standards and are in line with the Indigenous health curriculum framework. We'll shortly begin piloting the second tool at three sites across Australia and New Zealand. building the evidence base, as we have been discussing, is important. And we're constantly encouraging our members to document and also to evaluate the many strategies that they undertake to do their work. And to help facilitate this process, we've developed the Good Practice Case Studies editions. This is a peer-reviewed internal publication, but it gets people writing about what they're doing and thinking about evaluating what they're doing. We also developed a special edition of the ANZIP Focus on Indigenous in Professional Education Journal, and that was showcasing presentations from one of our conferences in 2009.
Can I add to that? Yes. And it's worth noting that in an emerging field, the ANZIP special edition on health professional education was the first special edition journal committed anywhere internationally on Indigenous medical education. Mm. So that was, we think, quite an achievement, not of us, but of the network binationally. And in Canada?
Anyway. Oh, maybe. sharing and promoting the work is a really important part of our role, and the Lyme Network website has been integral to enabling the sharing of what's going on. We have a range of things that we put on the website. We produce a newsletter 3 times a year that has basically shares stories about the successes occurring in the field. We've got news and events page, it has scholarships and jobs available. We've developed an online resources database that houses information specific to Indigenous health education in medicine, but also health disciplines more generally. And we've also developed an online resource for Indigenous people to see how they might start to study medicine, what the pathways are into different medical schools around the country. And we're currently we've shot a whole range of videos to give a face to the people who are already in that space. This is a photo of our reference group, and meetings and networking is obviously a big part of what we do. Our most important group, as I said, is our reference group, and this is an important space for these people who often work in isolation in their institutions to come together to collaborate, share information, provide feedback to one another, and peer network. It's important for professional development and support, and it's also been integral in the development of relationships beyond the reference group and for developing other research partnerships. We also assist in hosting regional meetings. The last one we held was at JCU. These bring together representatives from medical schools and the Aboriginal community-controlled health organisations to discuss approaches to medical student placements, Indigenous student recruitment initiatives, community engagement, and also how they might develop research opportunities together. Our biggest forum for sharing is the Lyme Connection, and we just recently held it in Darwin at the end of August. And this provides a space for all of our members to come together and exchange what they're doing in their own spaces, to exchange knowledge, to celebrate also the many achievements that are occurring. The photos here are of the student and community bursary recipients. These are people that we have funded to come to the Connection. It's mostly Indigenous students who might not otherwise be able to get there. And below is a student panel that attracted a lot of attention. And also we provide what we call the Limelight Awards, which celebrate and are given in recognition of the significant work that's going on in the field. And these are the Limelight recipients from this year's Lyme Connection. So this is our team. We sit upstairs. A lot goes on in our little office, but we are reliant on and are driven by people working on the ground, and we're here to serve their needs, really.